September 28, 2019, session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KD0S, and this week, well, I was at DCC last week. Very interesting talks, quite a bit on Tangerine SDR, quite a bit on several other topics. Some working with FPGAs, other people working on a variety of things. So maybe I'll talk a little bit about it later. So that's it for me. Next on the list is Henry PA0HJA, shown as recording away. And then we have Mike AA8K, shown as recording the mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next on the list, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all. Sorry, nothing to report this week. Another full working week, but keeping up to date with emails now. So pleased that cleared the backlog. We're very interested in how DCC went, Dave. No time for ham radios at the moment. Back to you.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFB. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, all. Good evening. Nothing to report here. Actually, I just woke up, so I fell asleep. And, it's just been all work all the time this week. And let's see, next week, I will miss next week here. I'll be off at Microwave Update up in Dallas. So back to you, Dave.
Fine business. And next on the list, we have Bob, VE3GKM, showing his recording in LA. So that brings us to the end of the list, and we're open for general discussion.
The Festival of Frequency Measurement.
Well, I had to get off the list for DCC so I could remember which were the different talks that I thought were particularly interesting. We did have John Ackerman gave a really nice talk on using high-precision GPS, so that was an outstanding one. And then we have Bob Berunica gave a nice talk on using solar panels with an electric car. He was evangelizing the benefits of electric cars and solar panels. And then we had a couple of talks on modulation. We had two sessions of lightning talks, and the lightning talks were actually excellent. And a series of 5-minute talks, and we had like 5 or 6 in each day. Other talks, we did have a talk by a professor from Valparaiso who was talking about automating things with Linux, and he works with the SatNOX people, so that was quite interesting. Let's see, we also had a young ham from Case Western that gave a nice talk on WWB in the standards. What else do we have? We have a session on personal space weather station, both from physicists, academics, and by ham participants. And we had a ground-based VFL Whistler signals, which was quite interesting, and I hadn't heard a whole lot about that, so it was good. We had another guy who was trying a MAX-10 FPGA and what it was like to learn to program it. And Bob gave another talk on APRS TT. And it was a nice talk at the end of the second day there on synchronization of FFT, and that Mike that gave the talk, he actually had gone through all the FT8 code and explained how each part works, which was quite interesting. Our dinner talk was Bill Brown, and he had gotten sinus infection, so he couldn't be there, but he did it by Skype and gave a good talk about high altitude balloons. And then the Sunday seminar was Satnavs and how it works and how to participate and how to set up the station. And they went through all kinds of details about that. Oh, also, those talks, there will be the slides at Tapper. There is the proceedings had some of them printed. And then the Ham Radio Now 2.0 fellow is going to be posting them. And so I don't know how fast those will get up.
Thanks very much for the update, Dave. I did miss, what was the topic for this Sunday session?
Sunday session was SatNavs. So how to set up a ground ground amateur satellite station. Actually, you can listen to any satellite station, but how to receive satellite stations and participate in the network that this group started in Greece, and they've spread widely across Europe and are fairly popular in North America now, and I assume you have some in Australia by now.
I haven't heard of it before, Dave, so I need to follow that up. Thank you.
Interestingly, early on, the SatNavs guys had 3D printer plans to build a Yagi rotor system, and you can still do that. But they've found that a number of people just put up a Omni station antenna, usually circular polarized, vertical, and it's amazing it does reasonably well without tracking. Now, it's obviously better if you have tracking, but some people are doing that just because they don't want to fool with the moving stuff. Because when you hook up a SatNav station and you get out of testing, then other people can schedule a particular satellite pass on your antenna. You do have to always have the ability to turn it off or say it's not available, but when it's active, other people can use yours and pick up their favorite satellite in your location.
Oh, very good. I'm sorry I'm going to have to go and take a phone call, guys. Thanks for the update. Very interesting, Dave, and I'll catch you all next week. 73.
73.
73, Phil.
By the way, I didn't see him, but Mel Whitten gave a talk on amateur TV, digital TV, and Mark Thompson gave a talk on system fusion. So those were there as well.
System fusion's the ASU way of digitaling?
Yeah, and those were sessions that they call introductory sessions. So a large turnout, about 100, and a lot from the Detroit area. So that was really nice. And we had a lot of students. So surprising number of students, probably 10, 15 to 20.
Well, that's good. I'll just see you were there. There were a fair number of students at the one in Albuquerque last year as well. So it's interesting.
Phil Karn was there, and I got a chance to talk to him about his talk last year, so that was kind of fun.
Oh, neat. But, I guess what next year's DCC is Phoenix?
Next year is Charlotte in North Carolina, and then it will be Phoenix the year after.
Oh, okay, I've gotten the schedule wrong. But, Charlotte? Well, hell, that's not any more drivable than Detroit.
Well, not if you're Scotty, because Scotty drove from Phoenix to Detroit all the way, both ways.
Yeah, he's a nut. Well, I don't know. I'll have to see. May drive to New York over the holidays, so we'll have to, that might change my view on what driving distances are.
Yeah. I'm going to try to start going to more of these as I have more time.
Yeah, I have the, what I do them these days is I will hit the, any of the ham radio conferences that are within, you know, driving distance I'll go to, so it, I guess the furthest one I've driven to is Albuquerque so far.
Well, Phoenix shouldn't be a whole lot worse than that. I mean, it is a long way, but it's still within some sort of reasonable radius.
These are big states out here in the West.
I know, but I used to live in Oregon, and I would drive back and forth to Missouri like once a year, and it was 3 15-hour days to do that.
Yeah, I used to live in New York, and actually downstate New York, where you'd go, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and you know, like we have counties down here.
So my grandmother used to tell this story. She was sitting in a cafe in Connecticut, and she listened to the waitress, and she said, "Oh yeah, I'm going way out west to Pittsburgh."
Well, from Connecticut, that's a bit of a hike, but I wouldn't call it way out west.
Well, my grandparents were from Iowa.
Ah, okay. Well, yes, that would grate on them a bit. My brother went to University of Notre Dame, and now his daughter goes there, and he's made the trip from New York to Notre Dame more times than they care to remember, and he tells me Pennsylvania just gets wider and wider every time he does it.
Yeah, I can see that. So, but it's interesting parts of the country to see as you go along. And I did want to tell you, I drove by that microwave tower, and I thought I ought to take a picture and send it to you.
Ah, well, if you ever do that, I'd love to have it. But, it's funny. I'm going up to Dallas. I gotta go look at my map and see what's on the north side of Dallas. I haven't taken pictures yet, and see if I can do any side trips. And the funny thing is, I used to come down years and years, like in the god 80s, I used to commute to Dallas for a while to work here on a project, and I was intrigued to see if I could figure out where the office park was that I was working at, and sure enough, I found it, and of course, the IBM lab is no longer there, but the building sure still are.
Well, that's good. I imagine that's like a trip down memory lane or something.
Yeah, that one's more of a nightmare, but the project was in trouble, and I was trying to finish my master's degree so I could relocate, for I was living in Maryland at the time, and for about 6 weeks I'd commute to Dallas Tuesday morning, work Tuesday to Friday afternoon, go to school Saturday morning, work in the office in Bethesda on Monday, go to school Monday night, and head back, do the whole thing again the following Tuesday. It got the longest 6 weeks of my life.
Well, I can imagine. I had another funny little story. I was talking to John Ackerman, and we somehow the subject of Claude Shannon came up, and he said, "Oh," and he opened up his phone, and apparently north of Detroit, about 150 miles, was Claude Shannon's hometown where he grew up. And in the town, they have a bronze statue of Shannon. So Ackerman took a selfie in front of the statue. So him and Claude Shannon together, only Shannon is a statue.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Yeah, I remember from the book that he was from I think northern Michigan or somewhere. I think that's how he described it. You know, somewhat rural Michigan, I guess.
Yeah, he, John has a place on Beaver Island in Lake Michigan. And his route from, he lives in Dayton, and his route goes right through the town. So it was kind of convenient to stop and look at it.
Oh, neat.
So the other thing, talking about Mike's link to the festival for WWD, several of the students on the personal weather station group were going out to Fort Collins to, they were going to put a special event station on the air for this anniversary, and the students were going to help run the special event station.
Oh, interesting. Oh, very nice. I didn't see here that you have to have like a real ID to get in here.
I believe so.